Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's pretty grim no matter what happens because the players feel like the calendar is shrinking on them due to the league dragging their feet in their estimation. And that means playing 60, 65, maybe 55 games. It's something they never wanted to do. Or even a lot of fans aren't going to be interested necessarily in the World Series winner of a 50 or 60 game season. So it's grim no matter what happens. I still think, I don't know, 50.5% chance that they'll play. But you never know. Again, this thing changes daily.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and that is the deal with Major League Baseball. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, did Rob Manfred sweeten the deal? Is that because it's no DH?
I'm not sure if he did. I'm confused by this part of it.
So he called for like a vote yesterday, and the players did not want to vote. And part of the reason is because of the outbreaks that just happened. I think 40 different players tested positive over the past week of the coronavirus. And, you know, all these different spring training facilities had to be closed. And it's moved back the date that they can start doing spring training. And we were saying, too, that the Red Sox now are going to do spring training, if it starts, at Fenway. So they're going to stick around here. They're not going to travel down to Florida where things are, you know, the numbers are starting to go up significantly. So one thing that the one reason they didn't vote was because the players are now saying, all right, well, what happens if in the middle of this short season that might only be 60 games, if it gets called off halfway through it and we have to stop playing? Like, who gets paid what? How much do we get paid? Do we get paid? And that is something that Major League Baseball has not addressed yet. So, I mean, this is just going at a snail's pace. And on Friday, I was feeling a little hopeful that they had finally figured things out. And, you know, to be quite honest, this isn't even like a players versus ownership type thing right now.
It should be the players and owners against the coronavirus at this point.
Yeah, and the game kind of changed a little bit, and the coronavirus said, hey, I'm still a real problem that it needs to be addressed, and I know you guys want to play, but this is real, and there is a chance that the whole season could stop right in the middle of it. And now they got to work that out, which is something, once again, they should have already ironed out up to this point. So I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is that, Fred, in the middle, if this does end up going back and they do end up playing this season, however short, there is going to be a rule in there that once the 10th inning starts, if they do go to extra innings, that they're going to start somebody on second base. They don't want to prolong these games because of, I guess, the coronavirus. I guess they're throwing that in there. But that's something I'm interested to seeing how it plays out. They've been doing that in the minors for a while, right there, John?
Did they do it for a while in the minors?
I read that yesterday, and I've never seen it recently,
but it hasn't been instituted for a long time.
Okay, but that's how they're. That's not even something that's being speculated. I apparently the players agreed to it already, and so it's going to look a little bit different getting back into the season. But you're right, John. Because of them shutting down the spring training facilities, they can't start. They can't start the spring training until when was it? It's like
a week from today. A week from today.
Okay, so yeah, that's a big deal. Now we're looking at maybe starting at the earliest right about when basketball would start.
Yeah.
So they're moving closer and closer to being insignificant upon the launch of the season.
Yeah, now they'll start. If everything is agreed to today or tomorrow, spring training starts in a week, the season would start literally, 6 days before the NBA comes back? And don't forget, you got to be finished with the season by the end of September if you want to get the playoffs in the expanded playoffs would count for this year, but not next year.
Right.
If you want the expanded playoffs to take place, and trust me, that's all the owners care about at this point, because you get an extra round of playoffs, that means extra money in your pocket. They get paid per game. They don't get paid one flat sum. So if you add an extra round of playoffs, which the owners desperately want to cut their losses, you have to be done with the season before October. You absolutely have to. So you have a hard start there, and if you keep condensing the window of time you have to put these games in, and Rob Manfred brought this up last night, because of the extra delay in getting everyone to their own ballparks and starting spring training later than you would think, now you have maybe 65 or 66 days on the schedule. The players want 70 games. You can't do that now.
Right.
If the owners stick to their guns, which they should. So now it pretty much has to be a 60-game schedule, or the players can say, F you, we don't want that. We'll take the grievance option, and it'll be 48 to 54 games. Now, the whole grievance thing is a separate argument altogether. I still think players have a case.
Because they weren't negotiating in good faith?
Yeah, the owners never did open up their books to them during this entire process. The players wanted, okay, you're telling us you're losing all of this money, prove it to us. And the owners never supplied them, at least that I read, with adequate paperwork. And if that's the case, I still think the players have a case to file a grievance for. I mean, if Manfred institutes that 48 or 50 or 54 game schedule, I think the agreement to waive all the grievances is off the table.
Well, that's what then the owners won't play.
Yeah, and the owners will win again, because I think all along they've wanted to cancel the season, take their losses, break the union, and increase their profit margin come 18 months from now. They'll crush the union now, they'll crush them in free agency over the winter, and then they'll crush them again at the bargaining table in December of next year.
Because how funny would it be if... I'm sorry.
That's like the poison pill. Unless the players agree not to sue. And for a while, that it was believed that both sides were cool with that. And now I guess that's all changed.
If Rob Manfred institutes that season, then that grievance option is back on the table, unless I'm reading this wrong.
No, you're right. And that's a poison pill that the owners don't want.
Exactly.
How funny would it be if, because as I was saying, I heard Dan Roach interview Mike Lowell, and Mike Lowell was saying, if you're Mookie Betts right now, and you're somebody who next year is looking to get, you know, a load of money in free agency, why would you come back and only play 60 games when you could injure yourself, when you have an opt-out, basically? Now, you won't get paid for those days. You won't get paid for the games that you don't play, but you also, it will count towards your free agency. So this year that he was a Dodger, how funny would it be if the Dodgers do all this to get him and he ends up not even playing a game for them?
Well, I would say they
get David Price.
They do get David Price.
I would tell him he's in the clubhouse as one of the big contenders for a World Series, and if that doesn't appeal to him, that's fine. I see, this is the thing. Why would you play in a shortened season? Because it's a season. Like, I was gonna, like, so the shorter season, you're more likely to get hurt in a longer season. Unless I'm mistaken.
Well, I mean, there's always the threat because of the way things have started where, you know, you have the pulled hamstrings and the pulled groins at the beginning of the year.
All right. I think that Mookie Betts has been training. I would imagine that he's been training.
But you know as well as I do that sometimes when athletes don't train as hard as they normally would and they're starting and stopping, you have those types of injuries early
on. Well, I've watched spring training. I've gone to many spring training, and they're not exactly grueling endeavors.
I know.
I mean, they jog in the outfield.
I know.
That's basically what they do.
I know. But for Mookie Betts, he gets screwed. He was going to be a $350 million player, and the owners are absolutely going to cry poor this offseason. Call it collusion, call it whatever you want to, but Mookie's not going to make anything in the universe of that.
No.
Well, here's the weird thing about Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is far and away the biggest free agent next season. Like, I mean, he's far and away. There's not like a ton of huge names. I'm trying to take a look here. Like, who else is even like Trevor Bauer? Oh, I think is right behind him. And you know, it's I don't even think that he's in the conversation here. So Mookie Betts is so far ahead of everyone that unless they make some major changes to the, I don't know, he's going to get paid by someone. Someone's going to pay him no matter what.
Not nearly that much. Not a change. The owners can't cry poor like this. Say, we're losing all this money, and then the Dodgers or the Yankees step up and pay him 10 years and $350 million. Then the players really have. Oh no!
Yeah,
then
they can. Then the players can cry poor, and then somebody come out and go, but it's Mookie Betts.
The players will absolutely have a case. The owners are very conscious of this. Yeah. They are very conscious of this, especially with the bargaining coming up at the end of next year. Trust me, the owners. This is all about limiting spending, both now and in the future, and increasing that profit margin. That's all this is. And if you pay Mookie Betts $350 million for 9 or 10 years, that defeats your cause.
Yeah, he became a free agent at the absolute worst time. Like, it's going to cost him like $100 million.
More.
I still think he gets it. No. Because these people are still loaded.
The owners say they're suffering catastrophic losses. You have guys like Bill DeWitt saying.
Well, are they, though? In reality, are they?
No. But it doesn't matter what the truth is. It matters what perception is. You have Bill DeWitt going out of his way saying it's not a profitable endeavor. You have three owners, Ricketts, the guy from Arizona, and DeWitt, saying it's not a profitable endeavor. Now, none of us believe that, but the owners are now duty-bound to follow through.
I mean, they did lose money. They lose money without a season. I mean, they can, Betts isn't.
And their franchises are still worth $2 billion.
I understand that, but they are going to follow through and attempt to undercut the salary structure as a result of this.
You are going to get 2 to 3 teams in a bidding war over Mookie Betts, and he's still going to make the kind of money he was
going to make. I disagree. I don't think he's going to make that much.
He is not. No. There's absolutely no way. I mean, he'll get a lot of money, but it's not going to be anything close to what he was supposed to get.
Rich, they're not losing money. I agree with they're not losing nearly the amount they would have us believe. I completely agree with you, and that's been my point all along. The owners can afford to lose whatever they want to. They're billionaires this year. It's all about taking the players' legs out from under them at the bargaining table. And to do that, you have to lowball a guy like Betts. You have to pay him undervalued.
John, does that mean, as a Red Sox fan, there's part of you that thinks this is a perfect storm? Is that he went over to play
with
the Dodgers?
Yeah, you won the trade.
Well, not only that, but also, if it's going to be less than you thought he was going to be, then maybe the Red Sox swoop back in and try to get him back, John.
Sure. Why not?
Would you see that happening?
Yeah. The Red Sox will put in a bid. Now, the question is, does Mookie have any ill will towards the organization like Lester did? I don't know. With Lester, it was different because the Red Sox really did embarrassingly lowball him.
Like, but that's different.
Betts has always said the Red Sox came to Betts during multiple off seasons and said, "Hey, how about this mammoth contract?" And Betts like, "No, I could probably make more in free agency. I want to go to free agency."
That's the danger,
So it's reversed. Maybe Betts can come back here.
You don't know if there's going to be a pandemic. That's why you got to sometimes play the cards that are on the table, baby. All right, we will return in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
They had drills into you as a kid that just sticks with you. And that was one of them, I mean.
What, to beat the Yankees?
Yeah.
Visibly aroused, John Wallach in studio.
Yep.
Hearing the voice of Ken Griffey Jr.
Documentary was solid last night.
Well, no, what, are you going to come in and say it sucked?
No, I wouldn't. You're right.
This is a man whose Twitter handle, in a brilliant marketing move, is Ken Griffey Jr. rules.
No,
Ken
it's
Griffey
not even rules. That.
Oh, Ken
he
Griffey
forgot rules. The Jr.
I forgot yes, the Jr.
He likes his father.
Yeah.
It's not anything like at Fred Toucher, which is the Instagram account that's full of influencers. By the way, like everyone's like, oh, you got to get on Cameo. You got to get on Cameo. So I was going to.
You felt this.
Well, I'm sorry, hang on. Sorry.
I was going to do a Cameo, but I was going to charge $500.
Okay.
And I don't think that they accepted me.
Oh.
I don't think that they thought I had enough of an internet presence.
You wanted to see. It was kind of an experiment to see if anyone would do it.
Because I figured if 20 people paid $500.
Yeah. Well, I'd be rolling. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be rolling it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was my whole philosophy. It's like, sure, I'll do it. Matter of fact, I think 500 is what I said. I'll do that for that. And, you know, you only have to do like one or two, and it was worth it. And that would be it. If someone was dumb enough to do it, great. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I'll give you my best.
I found it difficult to understand how to do it, and then I don't think I got an email in return.
Mm. You paid Nick more than that to watch a cat. You should do a Cameo for Nick on how to take care of a cat.
Yeah. I mean, Nick... making a lot of money off of
can I Just a real quick story, and I don't mean to take it completely off track, but whatever you received this morning when you arrived here at the station, there was some mail that had been waiting for you, and you were presented with a package of some sort, and the first thing you said was, okay, that's, you know, very nice. Nick, would you like it? And Nick took it, you know, not really knowing what it was. And just about 5 minutes ago, he asked Mike and I if we would like some of what it was.
Some hot sauce?
Yep. And where was the package? It was already in his backpack. Like, it had tucked away all. Yeah. And so he had to reach into his backpack to then come and present it to us. So me and Mike took all of it.
Good for you.
Just getting back the empty box.
$520 to watch a cat. Must be nice.
For John, last night, you must have been blown away by the amount of superstars that they got talking about how Jesus Ken Griffey Jr. God. Inspired them. Really,
Macklemore.
None bigger than Macklemore.
He was. You felt this pride, this like civic connection. It was a great story for anybody, but to be living here and to watch that magic happen on the field, it just felt that much more personal. We felt like Seattle was on the map. It wasn't just for the Mariners. That was huge, but our city was finally getting respect. And that was because of Griffey. That was because of the energy that Junior brought to the team, that he brought to baseball.
Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mac.
He was the co-star for like the first hour of the damn thing.
Where is Sir Mix-a-Lot? Where's Kid Sensation?
Actually, he was on it.
Kid Sensation.
Where's Larry the White
Kid
guy?
Sensation. Kid Sensation was on it. Kid Sensation was on for maybe 2 minutes. Macklemore was 45.
Yeah, where's Larry the White guy, who people think is funny? He's a real estate investor who makes a lot of money.
Yep. Where is he?
Where's the whole Swass crew?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know if this is true, but the way this clip is described to me almost sounds like I could have written it. This is LeBron James talking about Ken Griffey Jr. Let's see what he has to say.
There's so many challenges being a young phenom, and everybody is now saying you're the savior. Because I know personally how difficult it is to be a teenager, to be a phenom, and then to be drafted number one to a franchise, and they're saying, listen, you're our last hope.
So once again, turns it kind of to being about him.
At point, come on, James, give the guy a break.
I will never give LeBron a break.
I actually understood.
Speaks for himself.
I understood why he was there. I mean, he and Griffey both went back to their hometowns to play for a franchise. I mean, there are a lot of similarities
there. Because he said, first of all, he's a superstar, and he was a phenom.
Yeah, number one overall. I mean, there were a lot of reasons for him to be there. There were no reasons for Macklemore to be there.
So what does Ken Sensation look like now?
He looks all right.
Did he drop a 20?
He looks like Macklemore. He's completely just changed his whole image.
I mean, Seattle really needs to up their game in terms of rap. Because Kid Sensation, I believe, produced Ken Griffey Jr.'s rap album.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He had a rap album, didn't he?
He did have a rap album. Ken Griffey Jr. But it was super lame, like, because I think all the songs were about baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like,
well,
I like
about
to
what
hit.
You know, you know?
I like to hit. I'm legit, like in the hit.
Is this it right here? Hang on. Kicking the funky vibe to the funky swing beat. Nodding your head in the Cherokee GG. I didn't come alone this time. Is DJ Jazzy Jeff on the ones and twos? Swinging, not a singer, a deaf rhyme bringer, a home run hitter, but I'm not a dope swinger. For those who try to flex, I'm a quick neck ringer. For those who think the rhyme is wiggity whack, I'm a stinger. The G, the R, the I, the F, 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 the F,
Didn't touch on that during the documentary. Kind of skipped right over
that. No, because Kid Sensation, I believe, was the first voice that you heard.
Okay. Oh, really? That's the one who did it?
Did he drop a 20? He never dropped a 20?
No, no.
The skeezer from another crew? I've never picked it up?
No.
And kissed it?
Nope.
I mean, listen, he thinks he has skills, but... See, he was with Hammer on that album, I believe.
Yeah, Hammer had a big influence over the whole Atlanta Falcons teams of the...
Scooping up the women with the biggest butts.
I like when you confronted him with that, and he did not like that.
He did not like me talking about his rap career. Why would you not?
Because he was scooping up the women with the biggest
Up the women with the biggest butts. He did not enjoy that.
Dion, could you finish this line for me? Diamond Rolex. Yeah. Gators on my feet.
Yeah, it's on the album. It's on the album.
What do you remember most about making the Primetime album back in the day?
That I had fun. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I really did.
See, I go deep. I'm like
don't
a legit fan.
I'm talking loud. Everybody see you.
But I'm like a legit fan. Like, I like the one. What's the one that goes scooping up the ladies with the biggest butts?
No. I don't know about that one. Inappropriate.
You wrote it.
Yeah. I mean, what is who turns their back on their work? I mean, that's like Weezer not playing the Pinkerton album.
What is the message behind Heidi, Heidi, Hey, track 12 on the Primetime album?
Y'all thinking the same thing I'm thinking, right? Okay, we just going to keep it down, right?
Yeah, was Hammer a big influence on that song?
God bless you.
Yeah, Seattle's really got to up its rap game because, I mean, Macklemore is... Now, okay, I live in a bubble. I don't even listen to new music, really. Is Macklemore still a thing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he has a hit. Like, I don't know, what was Thrift Shop was like a hit, and then he had that, here we go now, this is the moment, and I don't know if he's really had anything since then.
He had that really powerful song where he said, like, you know, when I was a kid, I thought I might be gay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You're like, Diamond Rolex.
You can listen, you'll never top, of course.
All right, so, John, did you enjoy the documentary?
I did. I enjoyed it a lot. I learned a couple of new things that we had. The thing that was the biggest, not shock, but surprise out of the documentary is the thing that Rich led with when we came back to the break is that, you know, Griffey was just hanging out with his dad, who was a member of the New York Yankees, in the dugout. And the security chased him away, and Griffey Sr. is like, take a look over there. And Greg Nettles and his son are out on the field taking grounders.
Yeah, and that's a good way to run a professional sports franchise,
Griffey,
by the way.
The best part about that was Griffey remembered and hated the Yankees afterwards. And there's a scene where he's signing autographs at Yankee Stadium, and one of the fans wearing a Yankee hat comes up to him and says, we got to get you on the Yankees. And Griffey looks at him and goes, no. And went, well, what do you mean? And Griffey looks at him and says, if no team in all of Major League Baseball offered me a contract and the Yankees offered me a contract, I'd retire. I mean, he carried that hatred all the way through to the end of his career and still today.
So, like, even if you're, like, the most racist person in the world, like, why would you, I mean, what percentage of your, you know, is a minority? What percentage of your team? I mean, it's got to be, even back then, it has to be.
Yeah, one of your biggest stars, Reggie Jackson. I mean, what are you thinking? Like,
yeah, what are you doing? Like, this is the, no, you can't have your kid, but Greg Nettles can.
Yeah, Willie Randolph, Bernie Williams. I mean, these are guys. They're carrying your team for long periods of time. My God.
The best is when Ricky Henderson would talk about Willie Randolph, how they were like, the team can't win.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson, another example. How'd I forget him?
Yeah. So that doesn't seem wise. I don't know why you would alienate one of your players who's going to go back to the clubhouse and tell everyone how you alienated them. Yeah. And then it doesn't look good, not a good look for Greg Nettles because he's out there, you know. So. Yeah, Seattle needs another rapper.
Yeah, because I just Googled Seattle rappers, and, you know, I'm not, once again, Mr. Rap.
I am.
Okay, well,
I'm Mr. Rap.
Okay, so you just tell me if you've ever heard of any of these guys, okay? Because the first one that comes up is, of course, Macklemore. Raz Simone?
Nope.
Ryan Lewis is with Macklemore. Henry Osborne?
Nope.
Sadistic?
Nope.
R.A. Scion?
Nope.
Sneak Guapo?
Nope. Oh, Jesus.
He'll sneak up on you, right. And he's large. How could you be so large and be so sneaky at the same time?
He's fleet-footed. That's his magical power.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that he could be that enormous and just be able to tiptoe and you not hear him. It's Sneak Guapo.
Well, you know what, Rich, is that maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe it's a play. Maybe it's to get in your head. He's a sneaky fat guy.
R.A. Scion, named after a failed car.
They still make the Scion.
Do they? I didn't know they did that.
Oh, yeah.
Young Dre the Truth?
No, but I like the originality of it.
Yeah, I mean, Young Dre. Yep. It's one of those, like, maybe I've heard of him. No, it's just because there's a lot of Young and there's a lot of Dre's out there. I'm not quite sure if I know Young Dre.
Yeah.
Raz Simone. Wasn't that the girl on The Cosby Show?
Raven Simone, who just got married.
Oh, I did not know
she
that.
She got married to a woman.
Oh,
very
yes.
happily. Very happily.
So that's it. I mean, that's like, if you Google it, those are the first ones that show up there. So you're right. They kind of need to get back on the map.
All right. We will be back, Rich, with the stack. What are we going to talk about?
Did the ESPYs happen last night?
Yeah, I heard they did just about a half an hour ago.
No, they did. The Battle of the HBO Shows and a proposal for a statue that no one would want to tear down.
All right. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jonathan, you got the big endorsement. Go ahead.
All right. Stack is brought to us by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
By the way, I'm getting all sorts of things wrong all over the place last break. I mistook the Scion for the out-of-business Geostorm and Guapo for the word Gordo. Guapo meaning handsome. Gordo meaning fat. Guapo would be sneaky Guapo. So he's sneaky good-looking when you look at that rapper. So
yeah, maybe he has a mole or something.
That's right. So I'm just wrong all over. Well, Dak Prescott, he is expected to sign his exclusive $31.4 million franchise tag tender today. Instead of fighting or holding out, he says, let's do it, let's sign it, let's make the cash. What does that say to you? Does that say anything to you as far as what his plans might be for after all this is done? I mean, there is a conspiracy theory out there.
Yes.
That a lot of the Cowboys players aren't very happy with the way that Jerry Jones has handled himself over the last several weeks with everything that's been going on with the Black Lives Matter movement. He has been his silence has spoken volumes, you could say. He's been called out by players like Richard Sherman, as well as some other players in the NFL. And there is this conspiracy theory that's being floated out there that the reason he is going ahead and agreeing to sign this is because he is going to play for a new contract and the ability to go where he wants.
Well, everything I've read is that the players absolutely love Jerry Jones, is everything that I've read about it. So,
well, players that don't play for Jerry Jones are speaking out. You're right. I mean, and I don't know whether or not that might have changed over the last couple of weeks because of the enormous pressure or just how big it has been and how loud the clamoring for Jerry Jones to make a comment is. And is still, unless I missed something over the last week or so, yeah, I don't think he's still made a statement.
How many Dallas Cowboys have come out and spoken in support of him? You remember that Black Lives Matter video that a lot of players, and Ezekiel Elliott was front and center in that one.
Yep.
So we have not heard much. We haven't heard anything from Jerry, but I don't think we've heard anything from his players supporting him either.
Supporting Jerry.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a good point.
But I mean, supposed to say? I mean, he hasn't said anything.
Well,
maybe what players have said about Bill Belichick.
Jerry's like, an equal opportunity.
Like
yeah, an equal
right,
opportunity
they've come out and
guy.
Said that Bill Belichick spoke to all of us, yeah. And you know he said that he understands, he listened to us, he heard our concerns. You know, there's been Patriots players that have been very vocal about Bill Belichick, and they've heard other players say that about their own coaches as well. But you're right, John. I haven't heard anything, and I could be wrong. Maybe something happened the last few weeks, but haven't heard any of the players defend him. Now, that's a conspiracy theory. Sometimes money's money, and you know people are comfortable where they are.
I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, you got to take the free
not league. Fight it. The fact that he's not fighting it says to me that either there's a big deal on the horizon, which could seem very likely, or that he's just going to play for his own freedom to be able to be a free agent.
Yeah, they weren't offering him an extension.
Yeah, you're forgetting. No. You're forgetting the real big conspiracy theory. You know who his backup quarterback is now? Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
So he's worried. Right. Andy Dalton gets a few reps with the first team, takes his job right out from under him.
That's right.
That's the big conspiracy theory, Mr. Shirtlieb, that you are clearly overlooking.
You're right about that. Yep. He has never missed a game. He started 64 games in a row.
Well, it's good. He can have the crap beaten out of him and still get up.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Very impressive for a quarterback you're not allowed to touch.
Good.
I mean, that's if you look at everybody else who's getting banged up and injured, I mean, that's not a bad
score. One for Dalton. Yep.
Not Dalton. I'm talking about Dak Prescott.
Oh, Dak.
I mean,
Dalton,
yeah. He's barely been in the league.
Around.
It's not exactly Cal Ripken.
I mean, listen, you know, he knows not to make dumb plays that get himself hurt. I'm surprised every year how many dumb plays these young quarterbacks make, Jimmy Garoppolo, to just get themselves all jacked up. But speaking of the old gridiron, did you know the ESPYs were last night? Anybody have any idea that they went on?
No. Did not. So this normally would have been the All-Star break.
It's
the Wednesday after the All-Star break, but I think they moved it after the pandemic hit.
So about 2 years ago, I went ahead and said, I'm not going to watch the ESPYs anymore. And it's not for anything that, you know, you can criticize them about other than it became way too much serious stories, which many of them are really important and many of them are really good. But 3 hours of that is too much. It's too heavy and it's too much all at once. And I'm glad I didn't watch last night because that reportedly is what the whole thing was. They gave out no team awards. There were no, like, you know, greatest comeback, how they do sometimes, that kind of keep it fun. It was all of the, like, pieces, the big, long 15-minute produced pieces that were just really, really super serious. And as I said, I can do one or two of those, and it's great, and they're always well done. But 3 hours of that is just, I can't. I mean, maybe it makes me a bad person, but I can't watch that much of it all in a row.
Well, the world turns its eyes to the ESPYs. And, you know, if the ESPYs was going to give away just sports awards, I mean, what kind of message does that send to all of us that, you know, wait for the ESPYs to kind of tell us which way to turn?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
speaking of ESPN,
I mean, you couldn't. First of all, I won't watch it since Norm MacDonald doesn't do it anymore, and I just think that the ESPYs, you know, they know, you know, there's a lot of people turn to the ESPYs in times of crisis, and you can't just, you know, just put out the normal pablum. Because in a sports award show, I mean, why would you give away sports awards? I mean, it's not the time.
Yeah.
It's not the time.
Nope.
No, it's not.
Speaking of ESPN, they got a panel of experts to rank different sports by difficulty to perform. There was all these different categories. You guys are looking for stuff to fill. Endurance, strength, power, speed, agility, flexibility, durability. So if you had to guess, according to the ESPN experts, which sport is the most difficult to perform, which one would you guess?
I'm thinking not hockey, because they don't care about hockey.
Hockey's number two, according to experts.
Right.
Believe it or not,
baseball.
Like the rankings of strength and endurance, they are very, very high. Did you say baseball? No. Baseball's like number 10, I believe, on this list.
Hitting a baseball is the most difficult thing in sports.
Yeah, but they also rank it on what the strength you need, the endurance that you need, the speed, the agility, flexibility.
Basketball.
Hitting a baseball is just one part of it. Basketball comes in at number 4.
Okay.
Bike riding.
Tennis is up there. Tennis is like at number 7, number 8, number number 7. Number
the
seven.
Bike thing. The Tour de France.
That is fairly low on this list, as a matter of fact.
Well, I would say that
cycling is like around number 20.
Cornhole. I have no idea. What is it?
Poker.
Number one, boxing. They deem boxing to be number one because of the sheer amount of endurance that you would need, strength and power. All of them are the highest of their class. In the eights on a scale from 1 to 10, it goes boxing, ice hockey, football at number 3, and then basketball, wrestling, martial arts, tennis, and gymnastics. There you go. So you want to know what's at the bottom of the list? Of course you do. What would be the bottom of the list sport if you had to guess?
NASCAR.
Something? No. NASCAR, you need a little bit of endurance, a little bit of agility.
Agility?
Biathlon. Agility.
You have to know how to turn left and right without getting your arms all sore? Come on.
Hey, where'd they have wrestling?
Wrestling
Chief
was
Strongbow.
Look fifth at him. Place there.
Jay and Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Kent Patera was an animal.
fishing comes in at the very end, just above that. Billiards, shooting, bowling, curling, archery, equestrian, and roller skating.
Oh, Charlie Moore's going to be pissed about that. That's not good.
He's great. He has a mohawk. He's a silly goose.
Charlie Moore?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fishing for cats.
He's mad. Like he's dude. Have you seen him before? He's a mad fisherman. Like mad.
Chief J. Strongbow. He was an athlete.
He was.
Kamala the Ugandan Giant.
I don't even know who that is, but I'm sure he was an athlete.
Yeah,
classic wrestler.
Go look at Kamala the Ugandan Giant and see if you would deem it racist today, considering he had a guy in safari cap that was his handler. He had a bone through his nose.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. He was like an ant, and then he couldn't talk because he was like an animal. Like,
right.
They'd gotten him from the jungles of Uganda.
Of course.
And brought him in. And then so there was this like guy. I think he might have been an Asian guy, but he had like a whip.
Oh,
and like
man.
A safari cap.
What year is this?
I mean, 80s.
Okay.
I mean, I was a kid watching it, so 80s. Shaped a lot of my viewpoints.
Fred, if you are looking for a... or if anybody's looking for a gift to give Fred, just for no reason whatsoever, other than to make his day, looks like there is a brand new thing you can buy that's on the market, Grateful Dead deodorant.
Yeah.
North Coast Organics, they created an official Grateful Dead branded line of USDA-certified deodorant.
Smells like what?
Do you know what? They're just, I mean, they really keep it real. Those hippie ethics of theirs stand the test of time.
It smells like hippie woman with long armpit hair.
No, they already have patchouli on. It's just the thing that bothers me about it is that they're considered, you know, this anti-authoritarian, you know, blissful Eden of life. And then all they do is make ties and put their name on anything that they'll have them. I saw an attractive girl over the weekend, and I was like, wow, she's hot. And then I saw she had a Grateful Dead shirt on, and I diverted my attention elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Was that one of those things where the expiration date's going to come pretty quick?
No, she was good looking. I don't know if there's anything wrong. She just had a Grateful Dead shirt on. I was like, this is disgusting.
What I mean by that is that whenever there are always good looking girls that you knew in college, and then they would get into the Grateful Dead, and all of a sudden within 3 years, they would age like... 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, they'd come back and they'd be all ragged. So,
I mean, just someone came up to the Grateful Dead and they're like, hey, we have this deodorant. Yeah, sure. Put your name on it. Whatever. What's it matter?
Well, at least it's something they need. So, I mean,
it's not it's, even,
you kind of know your audience.
It's not even the joke of what it smells like. It's just that someone came up to them and said, can we put your name on deodorant? And they went, sure. Whatever.
Give us cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have a line of ties.
The scents you could get are Skull and Roses, which is lavender and rose. Sunshine, which is blood orange and bergamot. Working Man's, that's cedarwood and juniper. Timber, which is Douglas fir and sage. And Classic, unscented. Okay. So here you go, Fred. I know what to get you.
Yeah, thank you.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, they had a bracket of the best HBO series of all time, and that's kind of tough. Like, looking at the bracket, there's been a lot of great shows that I forgot were on HBO. Like, of course, Eastbound and Down, which I know that you guys were fans of, as well as me. They go back to, you know, there's a Kirby Enthusiasm, even shows you might have forgotten about, like the Tracy Ullman Show, Deadwood.
Oh, the Tracy Ullman Show's the worst.
I'm separate characters.
Birth of the Simpsons, though. The Ally G Show as well.
Right.
Fred, I know you're a big fan, Fred, of Ballers because you like to ball yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's like vicariously I live through that life of like ball and just doing chicks.
Uh-huh. So what four shows do you believe
Sopranos,
made
the
final
Wire,
four?
Sopranos, The Wire, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Game of Thrones.
You are 2 out of 4. Curb Your Enthusiasm, not okay, in the final four. The Wire, neither is The Sopranos.
Really? Okay, so The Wire, Game of Thrones.
6 Feet Under?
No, good guess.
Six feet under, by the way, with one of the great endings of all time. One of the great endings. You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, I heard it's really good.
Yeah, like the ending scene is the girl. I'm not giving anything away, but it's the girl driving, like she's leaving to like go to college or something, and then they show all the people on the show die, like how they died.
Whoa!
Like in the future, it's really
6 feet under lost to Euphoria in the second round.
Oh, I'm euphoric about that. Keep it. Keep it, Jerz. You keep it.
Thanks.
You keep it. You tag it later.
Okay.
You'll like it. I don't know what Euphoria is.
So Game of Thrones made the final four.
Game of Thrones is in the final four. Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember what else was on. Not Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley made it to the Sweet 16. I love Silicon Valley. That was and it got beat by True Detective, which True Detective had one good season.
Well, they had that naked chick.
Yep.
Which is the first time that I've seen something that was non-pornography where I went, hey.
Oh, hey.
I don't mind this at all.
Yeah, True Detective ended up making it to the final eight. Now, the other two that made it to the final four.
Justified, that cowboy one.
No. Justified, I don't think that made it past the second round.
Oh, a lot of people like that. All right, go ahead.
All right, the final four, you had The Wire and Game of Thrones correctly. The other two, Chernobyl and Westworld.
Oh, ew.
Who Westworld beat? They beat Curb Your Enthusiasm, Veep, and Extras. Extras was awesome.
Yeah.
Extras was really, really good.
Tiny fat man.
Westworld got like, I watched the final season. I don't even know if it was good or not. Like, it just was just a show that was on. And they even brought in Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. And even he couldn't make it interesting. The first season was pretty good. The second season just got confusing.
Yeah,
but
I couldn't make it through the first season.
I liked the first season. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it. That Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Sopranos and Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of made the network.
Yeah.
Sopranos lost to Chernobyl. What? Chernobyl, they made it to the Sweet 16.
That has more Watchmen to do with time. That has more to do with time than anything else. The Sopranos is the series upon which other series are compared and based.
No,
on that
Sopranos
network.
Is looked upon with fondness that I don't think it really deserves. I believe that there were great seasons of The Sopranos, but I believe as a whole they really dropped the ball near the end.
It
I think
is
the last couple of seasons.
Look at me.
Yeah, there were too many storylines that went nowhere. At the time, it was great because it was one of the first shows that killed off main characters. You didn't know what was going to happen, and you thought that every show was just going to have meandering storylines that didn't connect. And then all of a sudden, these other shows like Breaking Bad came in where you could do a clean 5-6 season show that didn't have all of those unanswered questions and strayed off storylines and characters that didn't matter. Sopranos was just one of the first, so I guess you give a little credit for something, but I don't think it holds up as well as some of these other shows do.
Well, you haven't lived until you've seen The Wire. The Wire is the greatest. Now I feel bad about liking it because people insist upon it. Like it's a really, really, really good show. Now, you're going to have to really have patience.
That's why I'm not going to ever watch it, is because everyone says it's the greatest show, but I have to kind of, like, for the first two seasons.
No.
First season, right?
No.
But that's a season, man. That's 14 hours.
No, the first season's great, but you have to get through the first two episodes because they're introducing you to a whole world, like a whole world of characters. And they don't, like, you know, you got to, and then to set up the premise and everything of what's going on, it takes them a couple episodes. But don't let me tell you, because I don't think...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
bonuses at Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.